I think today's sermon title is going to be called God Does Not Lie Part 2. But I may get into it and we might change the title because this series is, or this group of messages is birthed from the things that went on with my precious niece's tragic death in a car accident. And it led me to kind of teach people some things about God because I know the world doesn't know God, no doubt about it. I know the world doesn't know Him. But I also know that the great segment of the body of Christ doesn't have any clue about Him. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I got Him all figured out. I'm going to start it out with this. If I had Him all figured out, I wish He'd already come back. I don't know, folks. I'm 60. I always tell y'all how old I am. I'm 47 years old. I mean, the news just don't get any better, does it? It won't get any better because the devil's the god of this world. So if it was up to me, I'd have Jesus already back seated at the throne, seated at the right hand of God, ruling and reigning and making change. But it obviously is not up to Mark. It's up to God. So I don't know everything about the Lord, but I know enough about Him to know when somebody's telling bad things on Him. You know, I wish that that would be the case if somebody came up to you in the grocery store and started bad-mouthing me. Now, I know it's never happened to you. I know for a fact Miss Leslie has shared with me that a couple of times at the grocery store, they've asked her, "What in the world are you still going to that church for?" And she defended my honor. And she said, "Because he means well." I'm praying for him. I'm hoping he does better. But that's one of my main callings is to, and by the way, it's so fascinating because it's actually what God told Andrew Womack a couple of years ago that He raised him up to get him to change people's opinion about God. And that's what God raised me up to do, was to get people to understand who God really is. And God's nothing like what the Protestant church tells people He is. He's not causing accidents and tragedies and tornadoes and earthquakes and pandemics and wars. And I sure wish He'd come back. Amen. Can I get an amen, Jerry? But if I go with the Bible, I want to close this up because I don't want to leave this out there hanging. If I go with the Bible says that the reason He's not coming back is because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. But I also read in the book of Hebrews, if people aren't going to perish, it's because we're going to tell them the good news, because the Bible says that God is waiting for His enemies to be made His footstool. See, I'm trusting in God in this. I told Teresa, I said, I'm really going out on a limb here, but I've been reading these epistles and studying this stuff my entire Christian life, and I'm going out on a limb. See, we think that God's going to do it, but God's only going to do it through us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now catch this. He that believeth will be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. The choice is up to us. And ever since Adam fell in the garden, he's wanted to blame God and you women. Now, part of that I'll go along with. Can I get an amen? See, I'm being led of the Lord. Well, how about an old me, ladies? So, God does not lie. Now, this is all in conjunction with what we're going to be doing for a long period of time here. We're going to go through this, the epistle. So go ahead, Jordan, bring it up. Have you been epistolated? Have you? I guarantee you the groups that sit in here with me all these years are way more epistolated than the average Christian. You know a lot more about the Lord than the average Christian. And that's why when you hear certain things about God, you cringe. And you think, man, how can you be breathing and be that stupid? Not so. Now, that's probably not what you think. Me and Shane think that. And Shane's big enough to think it. I have to be more careful, don't I, Gary? Amen. But really, now, really, here, and I want to skip the you, us, and me. Here's really what we want to get to. I'll be nice. Here's what we really want to talk about, really, sincerely. I love being able to do this. I love y'all supporting us and giving us the opportunity to do it. And it's so necessary. There's not a whole lot of people talking the way we talk. Now, it doesn't mean we got a corner on the truth, because there's a lot of people talking this way, but you do have to go find it. You got to search for it. It's not on every street corner. It's not taught by every minister that preaches funerals. Okay? And it's because of this. Everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated. How many of you like that word? That's a kind of a long word. That's kind of a thinking word. Reevaluate. How many of you have ever done any reevaluating? You ever look back on your job and reevaluate it and said, "What in the world am I still doing this for?" Now I'm gonna say this one, and I want everybody to say amen. Anybody ever reevaluated who you married? Teresa does, and she says, "Thank God, hallelujah. I picked the right one. I got me a keeper." Jordan, you ever reevaluate some of the things you think about me? Jamin, you ever do any reevaluating? Somehow that doesn't shock me. But reevaluation's important sometimes. You got to stop. I've reevaluated our situation here at Life in Christ Church so many times I can't tell you how many times I've reevaluated. And sometimes I've reevaluated and made the right decision, and sometimes I've reevaluated and made the wrong decision. Because I'm not perfect, but God is. So everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated. So if somebody tells you that God killed so-and-so, you got to reevaluate that in light of the epistles. See, if you listen to most ministers, God's taking people. But if I read the epistles, I read where God gives to people. And I can explain the disconnect. The answer I give is not sexy. A lot of people, most people aren't buying what I'm selling, but I'm going to keep selling it. It's because it's not God's world. It's His creation. He owns it. But it's not His world. Somebody comes along and tells you that God's doing all these things because it's part of some greater plan He has. I would evaluate that in light of the only plan that I know is perfectly God's plan. And that's the plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say anywhere in the scriptures that God loved anybody else and He gave somebody else so you can be saved. It says God loved the world so much that He gave His only, the only one. Nobody's going to like us. Nobody's going to like us because everybody wants to include everybody. But Jesus is the only way. There's not many ways. He's the only way. If He wasn't the only way, the Lord should have took Him down off that cross. Because that's what He asked Him in the garden. He says, "You know what? Hey, is there another way? Could it be another way?" And of course, the group that He came brought them, they were sleeping, you know, because they were real spiritual. And so that's why you want to memorize their 12 names when you go to Christian school. He said, "Is there any other way? If it be possible, if it's possible, can this cup pass? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." We'll never get that right there, folks. The human brain will never get that. You'll never get that with your human brain, but your heart is going, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." There's only one way to God. There's only one name given to men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And the reason is because there's only one person that qualified. It's not because God is saying, well, you know, this is what I decided because that's just what I decided. He decided this because that's all he could decide. He looked out and saw everybody else had something wrong with them. It was called sin. He looked at his son and said, you're perfect, you go. And he said, lo, here I am, Lord, come to do your will. In sacrifices and burnt offerings, you had no desire, but I have come. You have prepared a body for me. And I'll get in that body and I'll walk among them and I'll show them what you're really like. And they'll like it so much that they'll kill me. Now think about that. Get your mind out of that religious cesspool and think about that. The creator of the universe came and demonstrated God and they killed him for it. Because it's not his world. It wasn't his world. He didn't even want to be in it. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long do I have to be with you? I want to go back up there where faith and love and truth is the way, is the norm. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, I don't know. I want to just keep talking about Jesus this morning, don't y'all? What's next on the slideshow here? Where are they? That's my question. Where are the ministers of the gospel with the courage to tell about Jesus Christ? Huh? Where are they? Who came up with the word woke? How about the word awake? How about awake? Don't get woke, get awake. Put a Bible verse up, Jordan, and get me back on track. I got off track a little bit. Put the first Bible verse up. Let me review one time, yet again, and tell you that what we're telling you is the reason why there's such a disconnect between what the Bible says about God and how we portray God is because we don't understand what went on at the beginning of creation. Want to review that? You got to almost review that every Sunday. You got to remind yourself of that every Sunday because we all get caught up in thinking that God's got the whole world in his hand because the Protestant church has sung that for centuries and it's wrong. And if that wasn't bad enough, then they came along with a song called It's the Father's World. I got to believe that God the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit on the earth are holding their nose every time they sing it because there's nothing about it they want. See, people don't understand it. They don't understand the character of God. And so at the very beginning of creation, God made all this wonderful stuff that we sing about today, and he makes all this wonderful stuff, and then he tells the man, I'm making you in charge of it. I'm giving it to you. You have the authority. You have the dominion. You subdue it. A fallen angel's in the garden. His name is, he hadn't fallen yet, but he's about to fall. And he's watching this whole transaction, and he gets, and this is where envy comes from. Listen to all these things. Envy is demonstrated in the garden. Lust is demonstrated in the garden. Jealousy is demonstrated in the garden. And all the worst thing of all, lying is demonstrated in the garden. And that's what's been around forever. And ever since. Lying, lust, envy, and jealousy. Because that's the nature of that fallen angel, and mankind took on his nature. Again, somebody said, well, isn't God good? Yes, and God is absolute truth. He cannot lie. Everybody say it. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. It's impossible. Hebrews chapter 6, the next verse says, it is impossible for God to lie. So once he made this transaction with Adam, how many of you like the word transaction? You do transactions every day, whether you like it or not. When you go to the gas station and pay $90 to fill your car up, that's a transaction. And that's a transaction that politicians have cost you. Yeah. Don't shout me down now. But when he did this transaction with Adam and told Adam, I'm giving it to you, the book of Hebrews chapter 2, you got to read it. I don't have time to quote all these verses. And if I quote a bunch of verses, y'all go to sleep on me anyway. I got to hover over you and jump around you. It's Hebrews chapter 2. Go look it up. I'm not making a word of it up. It's in the Bible, John. We read it in. That's another reason why you ought to come to Wednesday night Bible study. We can look at a verse up and study it and talk about it. But in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, in that he put all things in subjection under man, he left nothing. He left nothing that was not put under him. What a risk God took. He took an amazing risk. Now, you'll never catch God off guard, because he made provision in case the man made the wrong choice. Because the Bible tells you that Jesus is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. What God had to do, the reason why it took him so long, is he had to find a group of people that he could manifest the seed through, and then he had to find people that would behave the way he needed them to behave on earth, because he can't do anything on earth until it's been done on heaven. I mean, he can't do anything in heaven until it's been done on earth. I wonder if I was going to catch you. I did that on purpose. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, think about it now, look. Whatever you bind on earth, we have, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth. And whatever, huh? Whatever it is. Whatever you bind on earth. Hey, go read it for yourself. Just read it for yourself. Okay? I've done all the reading I'm going to do for you. My gosh, I'm putting a verse out for you every morning. And me and Ceci and Coco are playing along every day, aren't we, girl? Am I right on the camera now? Hallelujah! I feel like I'm in the WWE. Hallelujah! Okay, now, I got to quit that. All right. We have never recognized. So once God released his authority over to man, he couldn't take it back. That's why he couldn't stop a transaction. That's why he had to get a group of people he could work through called the Jew. And that's why he had to find people that would behave a certain way so that what they did on earth would match what he was doing in heaven. See, everybody didn't understand. Why in the world? Listen to me very carefully. I'm trusting him and I know that he's helping me and I thank you so much and I know you told me to. But why in the world would he ask Abraham, who's wanted his own son for lo these many years, made all kinds of mistakes before he got it. His wife told him to go in and sleep with Hagar, and he said, well, if that's what you want, you know, I won't fuss with you. He goes in and has relations with Hagar. She has Ishmael, and now we have what's called the Arab-Muslim chaos because of it. So that wasn't what God wanted. He wanted it to be Isaac because Isaac is a type of Jesus. He said, through your seed will your descendants be blessed. Not seeds, plural, but seed. And the seed, Galatians tells you, in the epistles, I'm still on track, in the epistles, we're epistolated, Galatians tells you that the seed was Jesus. Are you tracking with me? But before that happened, he says to Abraham, I want you to take that boy up there on that mountain up there. I want you to sacrifice him. Well, how much sense does that make? So Abraham, who found out enough about God, listen to me very carefully. Abraham figured out that whatever God told him comes to pass. Watch this now. This is really good. This is free. I didn't plan a bit of this. But if you'll think about this, it'll set you free for anything you need from God. So at first, I'm sure Abraham was a little bit alarmed. He said, you know, I got to take my boy up there, Isaac. I got to take him up there and sacrifice him. Abraham's thought about it in a minute. He said, wait a minute. The great God of heaven took me outside and told me to look up at the sky. And then he told me to look at the sand on the seashore. And the great God of heaven said that that's how many descendants you're going to have. Now, you know, when you think about that, I'm going to come back to what I started with. That's another reason why Jesus hadn't come back. That hadn't been fulfilled. You know, there's a billion and some, there's just a billion stars just in our galaxy. He may not be coming back for a long time. Of course, he could come back this afternoon. I'm rooting for this afternoon. Can I get an amen? I'm rooting for this afternoon. So anyway, Abraham starts to think. He says, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. He's told me that through this boy, I'm going to have that many descendants, and if I kill him, I won't have any. So he takes him up with his donkey and his servants, because he was a wealthy man. If you don't believe it, ask Kenneth Copeland. Amen. He was a wealthy man, so he takes him up, and before he goes up to sacrifice him or to think about sacrificing him, you know what he tells the servants? He says, we're going to go up there, and guess what? Me and the boy will be back. Oh, man, Abraham is my, oh, he's my dude. I want to meet him. I want to run away from Paul because Paul's going to tell me I didn't do near enough. You, Mark Browning, causing all that trouble down there. He said, me and the boy will be back. You know what Abraham figured out? What Abraham thought, see, Abraham thought he probably was going to have to kill him. But Abraham deduced God was going to raise him from the dead. I went all that direction, told you all that wonderful story, got you all excited, because when Abraham did that, that released God to offer his son. See, when he told Moses to build all the stuff he told him in Exodus, he says, you got to make it just like you make it in heaven. You're going to make it just like the same pattern that it is in heaven. Because heaven and earth are connected, and they're connected between God and man through the Adamic authority. And that's why God couldn't stop the transaction, and that's why the devil became the god of this world. And it's not because the devil has anywhere near the power does. It's simply that the devil has the authority that God gave to Adam. So, listen to me very carefully. Listen to me. I don't know how much I'm going to get done today. I'm going to stay on this because this is so important. So what God has to do is he has to get Jesus into the earth as a man. See, he has to get him in the earth as a man. In the epistles, Romans chapter 5, 1 Corinthians that we just finished, great book. Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 15 compares and contrasts the first man and the last man. So he has to get the second man into the earth to take back what Adam gave away. See, that's what's going on. And so he gets it back by conquest. And he tells everybody in the book of Revelation, behold, I have the keys of hell and death. I am the victorious, resurrected God-man. Amen. And then we're supposed to figure that out by reading the letters that these Christian men and women wrote. Men wrote to us. We're supposed to figure that out. We're supposed to be empowered by that. We're supposed to forsake the world, oh gosh. Amen. And we're supposed to change people's lives and hearts by telling them that God, through Jesus, has defeated the devil. And of course, the devil knows this is all true, so he has to come up with something that sounds really good. You know, God's in control, and everything happened for a reason, and we just have to trust in his sovereignty. That is a bunch of malarkey birthed out of the mind of the devil to keep you from recognizing who you are in Christ so you can kick the devil in the mouth. And let me say this to you, because I talked about forsaking the world. Hardly anybody's forsook any of it. Guarantee you, I can bring up Will Smith slapping Chris Rock and everybody knows about it. Oh, God, yeah, I saw it. Now, I didn't watch the Oscars. I wouldn't give them a moment's rating point. You wouldn't catch me watching that for $10 million. Them bunch of liberal, lying, thieving, demonic people. Don't shout me down now. But of course, I did see about it. Through the other avenues that are so sanctified and holy, called Fox News and, you know, the things that, of course, we think are genuine and sincere. But anyway, my point is, we all know about that, which is a bunch of malarkey, nonsense, doesn't mean anything. Amen. And it just demonstrates the depravity of man, demonstrates how corrupt and lustful and jealous and envious and prideful we all are. That's the only reason I'd ever get you, recommend you watch something like that is just to remind yourself, thank God I got delivered from that. He's trying to make you think that you're on the right track when really it's a mirage. It's lying. It's an illusion, but there's a better word for it, and I don't have it right now, but I'll get it. So anyway, God still has people that tell people the truth. And so listen, back to how this thing originated, we don't all walk in the Spirit 24/7. We don't all forsake the world 24/7. We're not always praying in tongues 24/7. We're not always godly-minded 24/7. So if something goes on in our lives that's wrong or that's a mistake or an accident, thank God Jesus covered that. He covered it. And that's not a cop-out. That's the truth. That's not a cop-out. That's the truth. That's the only thing God... See, God had to put him up as the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, and God had to make him the safety net for all of us, or none of us have a shot. There is not one person on the earth that qualifies for heaven based on their conduct. Not one person. Nobody. You don't get in because you're good enough. You get in because Jesus is. You get in because he became our substitute. You get in because the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God that appeared to all men was the Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist pointed his finger at him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin," S-I-N, not sins, but S-I-N, the sin of the world, or the Adamic sinful nature of man. He took it away, and so in Christ you receive a brand new nature. God lives on the inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, I've been preaching that for 25 years. The other part I didn't preach all the time was, and that includes, that you're going to be able to overcome persecution and tribulation, because it's going to come. Kenneth Copeland thought he could blow the pandemic away, but he didn't. And so there needs to be some balance brought to our reality that I'm in the world, I'm not of the world, I can overcome the world, but I have to deal with the world. And because of that, that's why at this church, and that's why I have always recommended life insurance, health insurance, and medical doctors. I'm not real keen on psychiatrists. I think they're as crazy as you are. Can I get an amen? How do we reconcile? Go to these verses. I'll go real quick. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." Now listen, I'm putting cannots up. Notice God cannot lie. Notice it's impossible for God to lie. I'm putting up cannots. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God," for God cannot. Everybody say, "For God cannot." Say it.
For God cannot.
How many of you have heard people say this? God can do anything. Well, he can't make you be nice. He can't keep you cheating on your taxes. Huh? No. So whenever you see a sentence like this, shouldn't you pay attention to what follows it? Wouldn't it make sense to follow something if it's a verse that says what God cannot do? Thank God it doesn't say any cannot verse is not a bad thing. It doesn't say he cannot help you. It doesn't say he cannot love you. It doesn't say he cannot save you. It says he cannot lie, and oh, this is so beautiful. He cannot be tempted by evil. Say it with me. He cannot be tempted by evil. Oh, and this is going to ruin all kinds of Sunday school classes. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. I don't know why God's got me going through it. He don't. If it's evil, he don't. I'm starting to want to jump chairs. That's my next thing, the hurdle, the 30 meter hurdle. Jerry, I'm just kidding. I won't jump any chairs. There's a lot of things I say that's... Yeah, amen. Check it out, everybody. Check it out. Let's say this all together. Come on, let's say it so everybody can hear us say it, that there's a group of believers that's teaching this to people. and pulling the rug out from under most people. See, it's a safety net for most people because then they don't have to take any responsibility. God made it. God did it. God caused it. No, he didn't. If it's evil, God didn't do it because he can't be tempted by evil because there's no evil in him. I don't have time. On down. You don't have to read that much further. You only got to go like three verses down. I mean, you can do that and skip the Academy Awards. Three verses down say, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. In other words, he's good today, he's good tomorrow, and he's good forever. That's the reason why anytime them boys got in trouble, the Israelites got in trouble, every time they got in trouble, he said, y'all get to the front of the line and say this phrase, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations. And man, Philistines and Girgashites got slaughtered. Because it's no different than me. I'm not comparing myself to God. But if I found out you took up from me, bless God, I got you back. But oh, if I find out you've talked bad about me, oh, woe be tied. Y'all see that? We didn't say it yet, did we? Here we go. Ready? For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Next verse, and then I'm going to close with that slide, the love slide. That'd be a dance, wouldn't it? Compare that with man. Compare that with the book of Romans in the epistles, because we're going through the epistles. This is what it says about man, natural man, man apart from God. Their throat is an open tomb. In other words, they speak death. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. I said it last week. I'll say it again. You can't hardly find anybody that'll even tell 20% truth. And yet God tells 100% truth. Can you see why we've disconnected? See, God only can tell 100% truth. And I'm telling you, you got to search high and wide to find anybody that'll just tell 20% truth. And just so you'll think I'm not being judgmental towards you, it would be fascinating for me during one day just to put on a sheet of paper and write down every time I told somebody a half-truth. Because I bet you people asked me about four times, 40 or 50 times, how you doing? And I told them good, and really I wasn't. I'm still sad about my niece being killed. I feel so bad for my sister. So I should have just told him, you know, I'm hanging in there. Life goes on. Because life does go on. I know, you know, sometimes I need to apologize to Becky. Becky's gone through some stuff like that. I know Shane's gone through stuff like that. And I need to make sure everybody understands that, you know, we want to show you how compassionate and how much we respect what you've gone through, and that death is final. They don't come back, do they, Jerry? They're gone. But to depart and be with Jesus is far better. And then over, and I don't have this verse memorized, but it's a great one, whether we live or die. Paul told this to the Christians. We'll get to it. Whether we live or die, we'll always be with the Lord. Amen? But anyway, I, and then, you know, people say, you know, I'll tell them half-truths about their finances. You're doing fabulous. You couldn't do better. Keep investing your money with me. I've got it all figured out. Are you listening to me? And that's the reason why it's such a challenge to understand the 100% truth that God tells. It's such a challenge. But if you get to that place, you got it made. And see, in certain areas, I absolutely have that in place. I know that God has healed me by His stripes. And when you got that down in your heart, you don't get all concerned about sickness and disease. See, but I don't have it 100% in my heart that I'm not going to die in an airplane. I still have to fly that rascal. Look out the window. I'm a lot better though. I did tell y'all I have a revelation from God. And it ought to be written down. It's way better to fly across, to fly over the United States than it is to drive across the United States. Can I get an amen? I mean, for 3 hours, I'll put up with a little, ooh! Especially when that dude makes that sharp turn to get him back in line. I'm like, my God, I'm down this way. Boy, get that thing up there. But you see, if I believe God and understood 100% truth, I'd trust in Him. And say, as long as I'm on this plane's not going down. Now, how would you know you're sleeping when it's going? Before it's going down the runway, she's sleeping and he's waiting for him to flash that light so he can play his computer games. And I'm over there going, dear God, let's grab hands. Kumbaya, my Lord. Hey, Beverly, I'm really a lot better about it. I'm kind of having more fun about it now. I really am. I figured it out. That pilot don't want to die. Does he? And that airline's, huh? Man, I don't want to get on a plane where the pilot's suicidal. But I will tell you all this. You know what I do, and I'm serious. I look in the cockpit and see what I think about him. He's sober. He looks good. Amen. Y'all having fun? All right. So, the poison of asp is under their lips. Verse 14. I don't know. Was it just 13, Jordan? Whose mouth, here it is, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, I'm not putting these verses up to condemn anybody. I'm putting these verses up to show you the difference between natural man and God. God's mouth's not full of cursing and bitterness. It's full of blessing. God's 100% truth. In fact, the Bible says, let's finish this because I got some more verses in Romans. Here's the deal. Let me give you these verses, and we're going to close at the love chapter, and we may have to pick it back up next week here. For to be carnally minded or to be naturally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, that's what's going on is the natural man, and even as a Christian, if you allow yourself to stay more carnally minded than you do spiritually minded, then you are going to run the risk of having to deal with circumstances and situations that are not God's will. And the reason why people have gotten so mad at me and so upset with me, and this is the truth, and it used to be harder on me than it is now because I've accepted what I have, and I know that there's a certain segment of people that are receiving what we're talking about, but the reason why people have gotten so upset with me is because I never shift the blame over to God. God is perfect. God is love. There's no evil in Him. Nobody will ever tell me that the God of heaven wanted my precious 48-year-old niece to die in a car wreck. She died in a car wreck. The great news is she was a born-again Christian that loved Jesus, that quoted Scripture. And the moment that her body died, her spirit went immediately in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once she was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you couldn't get her to come back for all the gold in Fort Knox. Are you listening to me? But that's not what... See, God didn't... See, they're going to go through a period of time where their lives are in turmoil and in chaos and sorrow, and that's not what God wants for His creatures, for mankind. He wants us to be full of love, joy, peace. So the way you get through that, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, is to recognize that this life is just a vapor. It's just a vapor. It's not a long time. I said it last week. I think it's a good way to say it. I'm going to be 63 in June. I can't improve on this. And it feels like just yesterday I was in the seventh grade. I don't know why I say the seventh grade, because that wasn't my best grade. That wasn't my best grade. My best grade was the eighth grade. That's when the girls really started digging me. And then they all left me I went up to high school, and all them boys started growing and getting strong, and Daddy stayed a little. And I was just everybody's little buddy. And then in the senior year of my senior year, I had the same thing that happened to me. I went into Jordan's room, I don't know, just one day. I went into Jordan's room. The day before I went into Jordan's room, I said, "It's time to get up." He said, "Okay." The next day I went in there, I said, "Jordan, it's time to get up." He said, "Okay." I said, "Oh God. Oh God, they've kidnapped my son. There's hair on his legs. There's a guy in there with hair everywhere. What happened?" That happened to me my senior year, and I quit wearing shirts. I let them know, bless God, Mark Browning's around now. How you doing? Never mind. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, now listen to this, this is what I've been trying to get you to understand. Because the carnal mind is, and maybe this will help you see it better, because the carnal mind is an enemy against God. See, that's what you got to understand. See, apart from Jesus, apart from the new nature that you receive in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're an enemy of God because your mouth's full of lying, cursing, bitterness, lust, envy, jealousy, and things like that. And so the mistake we've made is we've tried to include God in that environment, and he's not part of it. I say it in the Wednesday night Bible study. I've said it to Bryant. I'll say it over and over. God makes no sense if you try to put him in the natural world, because you can't reconcile the truth that we try to tell people when we go up to them and say, "God loves you and God is love." And then we tell them that God wanted this to happen or that to happen and this to happen or that to happen, because they don't connect. It disconnects because you're trying to make who God is in the spirit be the way the world is in the natural, and they're not. It's two separate kingdoms. You either can identify with the kingdom of the Son of God's love, or you identify with the kingdom of darkness. Are you with me? I'm just trying to get you to understand why these things go on in our world, and why we've tried to shift the blame to God when God hadn't got anything to do with it. God released the authority to us. He couldn't just barge in and take back that authority. He had to get the authority legally through Jesus, and we have to exercise that authority legally through our authority that Jesus has granted to us. Matthew 28 says, "All authority, Jesus, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now you go and you release that authority over mankind." And again, I don't have it all figured out. There's things that seem strange, but I guarantee you that if we could get more people teaching people this kind of stuff, we'd see less and less tragedy. I didn't say less persecution and less tribulation, because if you preach this way, you're going to have to deal with tribulation and persecution. I was going to get to Romans 8. When you read this great chapter, and it's a requirement if you want to be epistolated, he tells you all the wonderful things. Well, let's read it real quick. Open my Bible up. Let me show you one thing, because I want to stay balanced on this. We're going to start next Sunday out with my love slide. Okay? Now, I'll read it a little bit this morning, but I want to show you something. Romans 8, it's a requirement to read it if you want to be epistolated, but this is something that you have to realize. This is something that's a reality as a believer. He tells you all the things that's happened to you, all the wonderful things that's happened to you. Let's pick it up in verse 13, because that's where we were in our lesson. And then we're just going to keep reading verses. Everybody cool? Because I think I'm about out of time, aren't I, James? All right, here we go. Verse 13. Now look, you got to listen to this. And this is going to be somewhat controversial, what I'm going to say. But so what? Does that really matter at this point, John? Has it been pretty much controversial from the beginning here? Listen to this. And I want you to see this. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Now listen, this you, come on now, let's get everything back in focus. And thank you all for letting me kind of go off track a little bit. This you here is who? Who's you? Me. In the epistles, if it says you, us, or we, almost always it's talking to me. So watch what he's saying here. And I know people are going to throw this back at me. I know that, but I'm going to still preach it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. This is not talking about spiritual death. You've already been made spiritually alive in Christ. You know what this is talking about? Physical death. This is a deep part of God right here. And listen to me. Listen to me. Hardly anybody's got there. Hardly anybody. The closest person that I know of, and I don't even know him personally, but I believe it, is I think Andrew Womack is a 24/7 guy. And he hadn't been sick in 40 years. Hadn't been sick for 40 years. You know why? Because he doesn't live according to his flesh. Somebody said, well, what's that got to do? Come on now, I don't want to publicize everything. But if you eat too many Oreo cookies, that's not healthy for you. And if you're walking by the Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit's going to tell you? One cookie and a little glass of milk, and that'll be it. And you know what you say back to the Holy Spirit? Shut up. I'm watching the Oscars. Now, don't shout me down just because I'm telling it the way it really is, and I'm part of it. You know what I'm going to do on Monday night? I'm going to watch that basketball game. If one of y'all gets sick and goes in the hospital, I'll see you at 9:30. I got to wait for the game to get over. Peggy, are you disappointed in me?
No.
Or would you rather me stand up here and say, now after church today, don't call us. Me and Teresa are going to fast and pray and seek God and see if we can put an end to this war in Ukraine. See, some people actually think that. The way you're going to put an end to the war in Ukraine is to get people's hearts changed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as a believer and as a Christian, we're to help them. We're to help the downtrodden and the brokenhearted and those in despair. But you can't pray war away. You got to preach war away. So what we're probably going to do today is go to Jersey Mike's and have a sandwich made Mike's way. For if you live according to the flesh, I'm telling you, I'm proposing to you, this is talking about physical death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. He's not talking about living in Christ. You're already alive in Christ. He wrote the epistle to you because you're alive in your spirit. He's talking about getting to a place where you can actually listen to the Spirit of God and walk in victory. And of course, it's required to tell that to Christians. And then it's also required to tell you that hardly any of us do it. And again, I will repeat myself. That's why I believe in health insurance, life insurance, doctors, and financial advisors. Yeah, make sure whatever you leave it to somebody. Amen. Jordan, you're all right. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You see where he's going here? See? Verse 15, real quick. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what I ought to be quoting on that airplane. I didn't receive the spirit of bondage to fear. And get out of my window seat. By the way, I'm delivered from Southwest Airlines. I want my number. I want to know what seat number I have, and I want to know when I'm going to go get in it. Because the base nature of man, guess what they do at Southwest Airlines? They cheat. One person pays for early bird seating. They go get their seat and then save the two seats for their family. And then people want us to be nice to people. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out. What do we cry out? Abba, Father. Can the world cry out, Abba, Father? No, he's not their father. Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Oh, let's say that out loud. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See where I'm going? You'll see it better next week. I didn't really get to it. You'll see it better next week. I'm showing you in the spirit world, you have protection. You have blessing. You have benefit. But to see it manifested in your life, you got to stay exposed to it. Are you listening to me? Now, see all those wonderful verses? See all those? And I've quoted all those wonderful verses for 25 years as a minister. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. See, God believed in financial advisors and making sure you had a beneficiary, right? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and a joint heir with Christ. Ooh, everybody said hallelujah. What about the rest of it? There's a comma after that. Hey, there's more to that verse. There's more to that verse. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You know what the Lord just told me? Somebody said, I don't believe you. Well, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, when you minister, when I minister, I'm telling you, I'm not by myself. You know what the Lord just told me? He said, now bring that back to what you said at the beginning. Bring it back to what you said at the beginning. What I said at the beginning is Jesus demonstrated God, healed the sick, raised the dead, had all of his needs met. They didn't rip up that garment he had on because it was so expensive. You know that? That's why they didn't want to rip it in two. That's why they cast lots for it, because he didn't wear junk. And yet, he manifested God, and yet they killed him for it. You know why? Right now, and again, I don't want it to be this way, but right now, the devil's the god of this world. And so when you tell people this, you're going to have to deal with tribulation and persecution. And I don't like it. I like people to like me. Don't you? I like to be liked. And the other thing is, you got to understand something. I use this opportunity to get everybody mad at me. When I'm out of the pulpit, I try to get people to like me because I want their business. Some people would say that would be two-faced, but you know, hey, this isn't Batman. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Y'all see that? Y'all see that? See, that's part of what I left out for a lot of years. I don't leave it out anymore. I don't. I tell everybody the whole truth. I tell everybody. Verse 18. Let me rephrase that. I try my best to tell everybody what I know. That's what I try to do. I don't know the whole truth. Verse 18, we'll quit. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, by the way, one other thing, this is not sickness and disease. This is not suffering with sickness and disease. This is suffering with tribulation and persecution. This is suffering by living in a world run by the devil and you're going counter against him. That's what the suffering is. Where people may not like you, your family may not like you, your friends may not like you, your boss may not like you, your wife or your husband may not like you, your kids may not like you, because you've told them about Jesus and you've told them the real way out. And the real way out has never been politics. The real way out is the Lord Jesus Christ. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, you know what I've done today. Let's stand up on our feet and I'll quit. I'll quit till Wednesday. Amen. You know what I've done today? I've ministered. You know what a genuine minister of the gospel does? You know what I did today? I ministered to your spirit. See? If you're open to what I've said to you, if you can get past any preconceived ideas or prejudices, religious prejudices, and I'm talking to the radio and internet too, what I've done is I've spoke directly to your spirit. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to your heart this morning, you know that something I've said has touched you. And you realize that something is wrong, and what's wrong is not God. Listen to me now. What's wrong
is us. We're what's wrong. And Jesus makes it better. Jesus fixes it. Now, you may not be able to live a Christian life in such a way that you avoid all the tragedies that this life can bring, but you can know that when you die and depart this life, you can be with Jesus. And I don't want you not to know this. You can live victoriously in this life because Jesus is greater than the devil. And he whipped him. And the devil knows it. And he's headed for the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And again, I wish that was today. So if you're listening by radio or internet, you need to get saved. You need to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what you need to get saved from is yourself. Very simply, you just need to get saved from yourself. Somebody said, well, I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. Not in the sight of God, you don't measure up. Because he tells 100% truth, and you're not going to go around and tell anybody you've told 100% truth. Now, don't do that. So just receive the grace of God through faith in Jesus, and just say it with me. Say, dear God, I recognize I need saving. I need to be changed by the Spirit of God. And Jesus is the way to that change. So I receive him right now as my Lord and my Savior. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose from the dead so I could be a child of God. And so by faith, right now, I say with my mouth, because I believe in my heart, I am saved. Amen. Woo. I know the Holy Spirit's with you now. I know he is. We have an internet website called lifeinchristchurch.net. All my sermons are on there. Listen to these sermons. Get your hand on a Bible. If you don't know a lot about the Lord, even if you do know a lot about the Lord, read John's Gospel and then get in these epistles with us. Start manifesting the victory that's ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then start appreciating the fact that even when we mess up, he never messes up. And we have divine, eternal, everlasting redemption. It's in the holy and glorious name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.